702.
Call Refilwe on 011
883 0702.
Don't call me, call Paul Rulofser if you've got any questions related to investments and savings, but particularly this morning, as we talk to our certified financial planner, choosing the best medical aid plan. And as you'll hear very shortly, Paul contends there's in fact no such thing. There are other metrics that you can use for choosing your medical aid. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, Rafiwa. Yes, it's that time of year again where your option letters have arrived from the medical aid schemes and they've given you this choice. And I think that's one of the most difficult things to make at this time of the year because the plans are so wide in the ranges and the options are all over the place. And it's probably a very difficult thing to try and get a grip on. And I think just to encourage our listeners today, let's make an informed choice this time around if you haven't done so already. And I'm just hinging on the idea that, I get challenged by this quite often. What is the best medical aid plan, Paul? I don't think there is one. I don't think it's around being best because you'll only find out the best one when you look in hindsight, what happened last year, what happened this year, and which one could I have been better off on. So I'm using the word appropriate rather than best because I think if you follow that line, you're probably going to take a nice informed decision about the next plan.
Precisely, Paul, because as you say, no one knows what medical expenses they'll incur in the future, so you can never tell what's best. But how do you tailor or how do you pick a medical aid plan that is most appropriate to your needs?
Well, I think you follow the guideline of, it's all about costs and benefits, Rafiwe. So you're going to get what you pay for. If you come across a cheaper plan, you must understand that the costs or the benefits that provides are probably a lot more limited than something that costs a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So it's all about costs and benefits. Medical aid schemes are reliant on covering themselves in the way of claims must always be met by premiums. So they go back into their pricing and they make sure that, the plans are priced to that particular benefit. And I think don't choose your plan purely on cost. It stands to reason that you've got to look at the benefits that they offer and look at the likelihood of what you may need in the foreseeable future. If you've got some kind of pre-elective procedure that that you're going to hospital for next year, if you're going through a bad spell and you're likely to claim more from your medical aid next year through illness, well, then I think it stands to reason you want a more comprehensive scheme. But if you're fit and healthy and you don't really anticipate using medical aid next year, you can probably lean on a more efficient plan, a less costly plan. But here's the caveat. Make sure that the hospital bills are always covered. That's where the big expenses are. Make sure that you're not left stranded, because you've got some unforeseen hospital event and now you don't have enough. You've got limited cover in hospital. And hospitals won't admit you if they know that there's a limited way of cost. Your plan gives you a limited version of the hospital expenses.
Yeah. And, to that point, Paul, if you have, certain types of conditions and you see a certain kind of particular specialist or specialists, maybe not go for a hospital network coverage because you don't know, you don't want to preclude being able to access surgery in your specialist's hospital, all those things. You know yourself, you know the conditions that you have. Those are the things to think about. It really, really is a key to make sure those big bills are taken care of.
No, most certainly. And look, there are some plans which do encourage you to work within certain limits of networks. And obviously the medical providers have that arrangement where they've got some cost management control over or an agreement between those parties. Look at that. If it is a case of saving you a bit more because you now are confined to a certain network, it might be in your interests. But to your point, if you're dealing with a specific surgeon, but specialist, who you need the advice of, you trust, and he's not in the network, well, then you've got a reason to look outside that and pay a little bit more for it. Mm. But remember that the anaesthetist and the doctors in the hospitals are the people that charge more. The hospitals themselves charge at a flat rate, And yeah, most hospitals charge the same rate.
Yeah.
So just be careful about the anesthetist and the surgeon that you're likely to use, because they generally are outside the rate too.
Okay. Well, how do we approach medical savings accounts?
Well, very carefully. I think that's where the benefit does lie in terms of trimming down the costs, because you must understand that savings accounts are actually your own money, Rafili.
Yeah.
They're priced into the premium. So if you want to, if you accept that you want the over-the-counter costs to be yours and not lean on the medical aid, you can trim back on the premiums that way and go for something a little less providing on that side. So savings accounts are where you can trim back. And if you really want to go, you can actually knock them right out and say, well, look, I'll go. Hospital plan is going to cover all the big bills, and I'll just pay whatever's over the counter. And your premium will be a lot cheaper that way around.
Okay. And, of course, just staying healthy as much as possible. Managing your wellness is also a key and important way to go.
No question. If you work on your wellness, then the likelihood of you using a medical aid is that less. So, one of the ways through it is to, and some service providers encourage that, because they know that too. They'll get you onto wellness programs. And there is a benefit if you work with them. You know, there is a value proposition if you work on your wellness, because then you can lean on something a little bit less costly in terms of the plan offerings too, because you know that, you're not likely to use it that much more.
Mm. I'm going to push back just a little bit, Paul, and say I know what the best medical aid plan is.
I'm all ears, Richard.
The best medical aid plan is any medical aid plan from a medical aid company that communicates with you clearly and effectively. And as you call, when you call right there and then, you're speaking to a call center agent and you ask either for, I don't know, whatever it might be, whether it's an admission, whether it's, sort of costing of a procedure, all those things, they ought to be able to give you that information right there and then, followed by that SMS, followed by that email. And you don't go into any procedures wondering about what kind of hospital bill you'll be faced with post, I don't know, C-section or post, hip replacement. And I find too often when you talk to people, they never quite know where they stand with that medical aid, or how things get approved or how things don't get approved, and that's just not good enough, I think.
Well, touche. I think that's a very, very good point. And if your medical aid is backed by some very good efficient support, you're not waiting on the phone for someone to answer after a few minutes. It's answered immediately and you go straight to the consultant on the phone that gives you all those answers. Yes, then you've got the confidence that your scheme is on the ball. And I think that's a very, very great, very good point. Whether it's the best scheme, well, we can carry that, continue that conversation. But yes, I 100%, it's got to be backed by some efficiency and obviously some supports that will help you through the times that you need it.
Absolutely. Paul, thanks so much for bringing us this conversation. We will touch base with Paul Rilifson next Sunday, our certified financial planner. And if you've got any questions for him, anything you'd like him to unpack or spend some time on, please do drop us a mail, rafilwe@702.co.za.